Well, are we calling this Gernick or Minch?
Either way, Your Honor, Gernick or Minch.
Gernick, is that the...
May it please the court. We agree with the district court on one thing, that this case turns on a question of law, a controlling question of law, which is the proper interpretation of the mandatory retirement exemption of the ADEA. This morning I will address 2 points. First, I will explain why the exemption does not require an employer to have any particular justification for mandatory retirement, but only that it not be a subterfuge to evade the purposes of the ADEA. Second, I will explain why a plan that is allegedly not motivated by public safety, but instead by a desire to create job openings, does not evade the purposes of the ADEA. The exemption does not...
I don't understand. I thought the second was the issue. I don't know what the first is about. It's just subterfuge, isn't it?
It is, Your Honor. To the extent the plaintiffs are saying that the mandatory retirement requires local governments to have public safety in mind, they ask this court to hold that local governments must have a particular idea in mind or particular justification of public safety.
Yeah.
Betts makes the point, though, that Betts actually rejects that approach. There, the court rejected the argument that employers using the benefit plan exception had to prove that their plan was cost-based or justified on grounds of cost, and that was the only legitimate reason for having that type of exemption. However, the court rejected that determination and held that the lack of cost justification did not make the plan a subterfuge to evade the ADEA's purposes because that requirement appeared nowhere in the statute. Same is true here. There's therefore no support for the claim that employers...
I think their position is that you don't have to prove that these 63-year-olds or 64-year-olds are incompetent, but your purpose has to, your goal has to be to get rid of older people because of concern about public safety. Isn't that their argument?
Well, I believe that's correct, Your Honor. But that's really an assertion that even if, as long as the local government is thinking public safety, whether it has any proof of that or not, whether it has any support of that for that or not, then there's no subterfuge.
Right.
But the problem.
So were you thinking public safety here?
Well, the problem with that is that the statute does not contain a public safety requirement. It's just not there. And therefore, whether we're thinking it, whether
we're... But that was the purpose of the exemption.
That is what the exemption states. That's true.
Yeah, so if that's the purpose...
No, I'm sorry. That is what the mandatory retirement states, ordinance.
Well, the ordinance just talks about people who are mandatorily retired. I don't...
That's true. There's the preamble to the ordinance.
I couldn't find that preamble. What does that say?
The preamble does say that it's in the interest of the citizens of the safety of the citizens of the city of Chicago, etc.
Is that somewhere?
It's in the journal. I believe that is in the record as an exhibit to a motion, to the motion, response to the motion to dismiss. But the point is that even if... I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Thanks. If we were to take the approach to subterfuge that you advocate, then I take it that the answer to the question that Judge Bucklow certified is yes, provided that the plaintiffs are attempting to establish that mandatory retirement was adopted in order to evade a statutory prohibition.
If the plaintiffs can identify a statutory purpose from which mandatory retirement would not be exempt, then they could.
So there might still be some situations in which the plaintiffs would be entitled to depose the city council?
Well, perhaps, Your Honor, if the plaintiffs had alleged retaliation, then perhaps they could look into the motive, whether it was in fact motivated by retaliation to make that determination. But that is not this case.
You're saying they have to allege this?
Yes, that's right, Your Honor.
In order to get past 12B6.
That's right, Your Honor. If
you can't just say that it's just in some general term that it's a subterfuge.
If they said
that... They have to define the subterfuge.
Well, certainly when challenged with a motion to dismiss, they would have to. The problem with that is we would have no idea what we did wrong.
Well, what if the city council had proclaimed in the preamble to the mandatory retirement ordinance that old people just can't hack it as police officers and firefighters? Would the plaintiffs, would they still wouldn't have a viable claim of subterfuge,
no,
would they?
No, they would not, Your
Can
Honor.
That be consistent with the ADA's purposes?
Yes, because the purpose of the ADEA is to permit employers to prefer younger workers in these kinds of positions. And therefore, it would be appropriate to find no subterfuge, even in the situation you described.
Your reply brief, that you point out not only the retaliation, you say, or that the law at issue is not really a retirement law, but merely moves older workers into a lower-paying job.
That's right.
Obviously, at this stage, it seems to me, at least, with this retirement, mandatory retirement, two things are obvious. One is they're going to be replaced by younger people.
That's right.
And the other is they're probably at the peak of their earning capacity.
The older workers.
Yes. So, two things are going to happen. You're going to get younger workers and, I assume, cheaper ones.
That's true, and that's not prohibited by the ADEA.
But the implication I get is can be alleged to be a subterfuge, but that's not.
No, because that's, as you point out, Your Honor, every mandatory retirement plan is going to do that. If that was a subterfuge, the exemption would be meaningless. Nobody could use it unless they, you know, that would be saying that you could not replace.
Could you do this? Could you tell them they have to retire at 63 unless they accept a wage cut to the cut of an entering worker? You couldn't do that.
That's the same as our second example, Your Honor.
That's an example of subterfuge.
So that would be, that's the subterfuge.
Because that's not really mandatory retirement at all.
Pardon?
Because they would, you'd be saying, well, you can still work for us if you, right, exactly. Because the plaintiff's submission, in fact, conflicts with Betts, they urge the court to determine that Betts should not be followed. But that approach would create a conflict with the 11th Circuit, which squarely held in Knight versus Georgia that Betts should be followed for purposes of this exemption. And as I explained, under Betts, a plan may be a subterfuge if it evades the purposes of the ADEA, but it is not among those purposes to serve the public safety, nor is it among those purposes to prevent employers from preferring younger workers in police and fire jobs. Mandatory retirement cannot be said to evade that purpose because then the exemption would be meaningless. As Your Honor points out, that would occur with any mandatory retirement plan, and that is the claim in this case.
Well, what has to be alleged? See, where I have a problem here is where do we start drawing the line? Obviously, if it's got to be some sort of pleading with particularity or something, beyond just the notice pleading and saying there's a subterfuge, if that's not enough, I don't know what is. But, we're speculating now. We're saying, well, gee, there must be something they could do. There could be some motive here to get these past 12b-6. And I want to see what we're supposed to say as far as... in answering this question that's certified. Are we supposed to speculate? Yeah, there's something out there, you know, because it's got to be any set of facts. Are we supposed to,
well,
no, that's not laid out. Are we supposed to speculate about any set of facts in order to get this back to summary judgment?
Well, Your Honor, the district court correctly concluded that this case presented a question of law, and that is because the plaintiffs were quite candid about what they hoped to prove. And everything they hoped to prove failed to state to state a claim for relief under the ADEA. If there had been an allegation of an intent to evade a statutory purpose, one that made sense, one that wouldn't apply to every retirement plan, then we would have a different case. But that is not the case, and there's no point to send it back when the city or any employer would have no idea what it did wrong. Just by saying it's a subterfuge, we don't know what that means. We don't know what kind of conduct we engaged in that was prohibited, and we would be burdened by discovery unwarrantedly just by virtue of the plaintiff conducting a fishing expedition to see if they could come up with anything.
So it is just a question of law, and they have to assert it in the complaint, and then the
Well, if they don't assert it in the complaint, then I suppose we could move for a more definite statement. And in fact, the district court pressed the plaintiffs on what they plan to prove because the district court wanted to know also. And they were very candid about that.
What did they say?
They said exactly what they're saying now. It wasn't public safety. You just wanted to create job openings.
These 63-year-olds, are they all supervisors?
In this particular case, or in general?
In general.
Not necessarily. I don't know.
But I thought most policemen retired early, and then they get a, you know, replacement job as a, you know, they have their pension, and they get a job in a private policing.
That could be, Your Honor. I'm not aware of that on this record. For all these reasons, we ask that the district court order declining to dismiss the ADEA claims be reversed and the court be directed to dismiss those claims.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Agnew. Ms. Matlick?
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Joan Matlick on behalf of plaintiffs' appellees. What defendants are urging on this court is that this court read out of the ADEA two provisions, the prohibition against discharge, as well as the clear requirement in the public safety exemption that subterfuge must be.
Yeah, but the question is the meaning of subterfuge. And it seems to me your position on subterfuge just completely dissolves the exemption into a BFOQ, because, you know, you'll use McDonnell Douglas to try to extract circumstantial evidence that their public safety rationale is spurious, and the issue will then become, well, you know, do they have a real public safety reason? Is it a good reason? And then you're just back, and the litigation will be over whether there is a public safety justification. That's quite different from a statutory exemption.
Your Honor, we believe that there's a difference here between requiring a BFOQ analysis and requiring that the exemption will not be granted unless an employer has not engaged in subterfuge. If you look at the specific language in the exemption, it says
what's that the difference? I don't understand.
Well, let's look at what the language says.
You said this does not collapse into BFOQ analysis. So tell me why it doesn't.
A BFOQ analysis requires a particularized showing that the requirements of the job are inconsistent with the individual's
right,
age.
And you will use McDonnell Douglas to force them to make that particularized showing in order to defeat an inference that they have an improper motive. That's how McDonnell Douglas works.
Your Honor, that's not what would happen here. Let me give you an example.
Excuse me for a moment. As I understand your approach to subterfuge, if it were shown that the Chicago City Council had impure motives when they reenacted mandatory retirement for police and firefighters, then Chicago's ordinance would fail. But if the evidence showed that Indianapolis did the same thing with a pure heart, and strictly for public safety reasons, then its ordinance would stand. Am I right?
That's correct.
Could that really be what Congress had in mind? Hasn't Congress already made a judgment that until we have appropriate fitness tests that have been developed and adopted, that public safety concerns justify the readoption of mandatory retirement, period?
Congress chose not to mirror the law that applies to federal safety workers. That law gives an absolute exemption to the federal government to mandatorily retire public safety officers. It has no subterfuge clause in it. Here, Congress clearly intended to create some stopgap measures so that municipalities could not abuse mandatory retirement.
You did give an example of subterfuge, which seemed perfectly good, so that the provision has some meaning. It's not made a complete nullity by their position. Don't you agree with their example?
No, I don't.
You don't think those are subterfuges?
I'm sorry, could you explain?
Well, they have two examples. One is that they adopt this rule because they want to get rid of some people. I mean, they want to retaliate. Best would be if they want to retaliate against someone who is not himself old, but who is supporting the old. And the second is that they might use this as a subterfuge for cutting the wages of elderly workers. Seems a little fanciful. I mean, this image of a geriatric fire squad, it's twice as large because they're paid half as much. But that you probably think of a more plausible example.
The defendant's assertion violates the statutory construction principle that we have to look at what the language of the statute is. The subterfuge clause does not say subterfuge to evade the retaliation prohibition or the prohibition on wage reduction. It says there can be no subterfuge to evade the purposes
of
the Act.
As Judge Rovner pointed out, if you read subterfuges broadly as you get into this awkward inquiry into motive. And it's particularly awkward because we're dealing primarily here with municipal, you know, with government agencies. And one thing that puzzles me, I mean, suppose there really is a public safety concern. Is there any way in which the city could somehow purify its motives, reenact this thing with a clean heart?
Let me give you an example. If the city had determined that
now what
it
would do now, suppose it loses, but it really does have a public safety concern. Can it reinstate the ordinance?
It certainly could if that was the true motive and not just an attempt to
reenact. But how would they be able to prove that they had a good motive rather than just a clever recitation?
Let's look at the facts in this case. In this case,
my question is about the next case. Mm-hmm. If you win this case and they want to reinstitute ordinance, what would they have to show to convince you that it was bona fide?
There would not be an attempt to just resurrect a previously ill-motivated ordinance. What makes this ordinance ill-motivated is that it was surrounded by statements made by a sponsor.
But you're not dealing with my question. Suppose, yes, they want to resurrect the additional age 63 ordinance, but they want to convince you that the resurrection is accompanied by new and pure motives.
Well, if there was, for example, a study done or a determination done that the older workforce in
right,
the
department... Right, so we're back to the BFOQ. You're going to require proof that there is a real safety rationale here.
Well, I'm not certain that every time there would have to be a public safety rationale.
Oh, but every time a plaintiff could compel a full-fledged inquiry into a city's motive simply by alleging that the city was motivated by something other than public safety.
But how can we ignore that in this case, the city instituted mandatory retirement for the stated purpose that it wanted to create promotional opportunities and to create hiring opportunities for younger workers? And how can we ignore the fact that the sponsor of the ordinance and the mayor who introduced it made statements that were the very kinds of ageist and stereotypical comments that are repugnant to the ADEA, calling them old-timers.
No, but ageist comments related to public safety would not be subterfugist, right? Suppose someone said, nobody over 63 could even light a match, let alone put out a fire. Now, that would be ageist and discriminatory, but that would be precisely the sort of thing I assume you'd say would be a permitted motive for the public safety provision, wouldn't it?
But the comments made here were things like...
But you agree with that much, don't you? Or do you?
I would agree that if the comments had to do with a person's ability to perform their job, which is one of the...
Even though the comments might be ageist and indeed absurd, right? I mean, what they said, no one over 63 can see more than 3 feet in front of his nose, so how can he be a fireman, right? That would be extreme ageism. Now, you couldn't use that as evidence of subterfuge, could you?
Well, I think you could, because the ADEA's purposes say...
Well, then you're really back into the BFOQ. You're insisting not only that they have pure motives, but that they have good reasons.
Well, the ADEA's purposes say that the employment decision should be made on the basis of ability rather than age.
Oh, yeah, but now you're just... No, that's completely impermissible. That's not even your position.
The subterfuge clause requires...
I mean, pure motives are good enough. There's a difference between having pure motives and being intelligent. You can have extreme misconceptions about old people and yet be exclusively concerned with safety. And surely you have to concede that if that's the situation, there's no subterfuge.
We agree that if the real motive for mandatory retirement is a public safety motive, that it will probably pass muster.
What do you mean probably?
That it should pass
Let's
muster.
Stop over probably.
Does that mean no legislators can comment on anything except safety when they're passing the law? Others say the obvious. Yeah, this is going to make room for others, minorities and others, to fill vacancies that aren't now there. That's sort of obvious, but they can't say that. All they can say is we're going to have a safer city because... And then they're okay. So you're going to legislative history in order to say they got a bad motive.
Well, the subterfuge clause requires us to look at the motive. And when we do that here, we see that the motive was to give benefits to younger workers on the backs of older workers. The motive here... I'm not sure how many members there are.
And somebody says one thing, somebody says another, and then they pass a law that says something else. And that's the trouble with legislative history. When you look at what people say and then what they end up voting on is written.
Well, surely Congress understood when it created the exemption and inserted the subterfuge clause, which requires us to look at motive, that much of the time a municipality will create its personnel actions through legislative action. So we can't ignore the fact that the subterfuge clause, which requires us to look at motive, was created in the context of that understanding that legislative action was going to be the way that these laws got created much of the time.
See how you pass a law without getting around subterfuge, without, if you have, 63 seems kind of old to me. I'm 61. My kids tell me I'm pretty old. But it would seem that if you have this law that says, okay, it's 63, look, all we have to do is go downstairs and to get in here, and you're passing all kinds of retired police officers who are now security guards, and I assume they're making at least as much now as they were as police officers, and they get half their police officer wage plus a full wage here and another retirement. So people that stay till 63 have to have a pretty good reason for doing that. But how do you say 63 is okay, but it can't be a subterfuge? I can't come up with anything that says that doesn't require a complete examination of whatever the legislator says.
We have to give effect to the subterfuge clause, that it must mean
something. Yeah, we do. There are examples. It's not going to be read out completely.
What
you have to allege it then. Let's get to that. If you're filing a complaint, you have to say specifically what the subterfuge is, or is that, or should, if it goes to past 12b-6, that it's a burden of proof should be on the person that's claiming subterfuge?
We believe we've satisfied the pleading requirements, and Judge Bucklow agreed. We gave a clear and concise statement of our claims, and we should survive a motion to dismiss for that reason. I think it's important to remember that there is a clear prohibition in the statute on discharge. And what Betts teaches us is that you can't read that prohibition out of the statute. When you try to balance the exemption with the existing prohibitions, you have to give both effects.
I don't even agree with what you say, that the fact that they want to create hiring opportunities for young people and minorities is inconsistent with a public safety rationale. Because obviously, if you think that young people, I mean, if you're concerned about 63-year-olds not having the physical strength to be firemen, you don't want to replace them with 62-year-olds. You want to replace them with young people. So when you talk about hiring opportunities for young people, you mean we want a younger workforce for safety reasons, and minorities too, because the rationale for a lot of minority hiring police and fire is that there is a safety rationale, because you need minority representation in these public safety forces in order to enable them to work in the community. That's what your firm is usually arguing to us.
The qualities that make a good firefighter, a good police officer, often rest on good judgment and knowledge and skill.
But in other cases, you argue that race is a qualifying factor in a fireman or a policeman.
The ADEA says that mandatory retirement and the use of the exemption shall not be used where the employer has a subterfuge to evade the purposes of the act.
I'm just saying your evidence of subterfuge is very weak, because there's another construal of this preference for, or this desire to give hiring opportunities to young and minority workers. Okay, well, anyway, thank you very much, Mr. Madlack. And Ms. Strachney, do you have anything further? How much time does she have?
Your Honor, this case involves how to interpret a statute. The plaintiff's view, as you all have observed, it merely reads out the mandatory retirement exemption entirely. Their attempt to limit it to the public safety does not square with the language of the statute. Not only might it require the city to prove a BFOQ in contravention of the statute, but the statute also does not require the city to do any studies or any testing at all. In fact, that burden is squarely on federal agencies, who in fact have not yet been able to do that. And in addition, the plaintiffs would like to focus on the statutory prohibition against age-based discharge, but of course, if that prohibition, if mandatory retirement is not exempt from that prohibition, then there will never be any mandatory retirement plan at all that could not be described as a subterfuge, because it will always result in the discharge or retirement of older workers. The same is true of the creation of job openings for younger workers. Openings are going to be created. It doesn't matter how we fill them. The fact that they're going to be created is the inevitable result of any mandatory retirement plan, and therefore there is no statutory purpose to prevent local governments from preferring younger workers in police and fire departments.
Okay, thank you very much, both counsel. Next case for argument, United